Blog Talk Radio.
The righteous man, the sort of people invite this man to make newer policies, the same laws they never will see, except to support righteous man. Why did the people invite this man to make newer policies? Somebody help me please understand.
Oh Lord, can't believe I voted for him. Steady from your troops back. Now the man's condoning torture. It's not that I expected much. I knew he'd be a puppet. I just wanted so badly to believe that he wasn't heartless. But his whole committee, Madison Avenue, treason ready, passing bills, leaving Joe the plumber in Tent City. Mr. President, if I could ask you one simple question, is how could you make Timothy Guyton the head of the Treasury? You know what? Never mind, I get it. You don't even have to say. You're just a spokesman, right? Same snake, new face. Ain't the Hope for Change campaign. Seriously, that was clever. Cause hope is just a word, and you're the best lie ever. That's 16 months. Start bringing him back, but you haven't. You've expanded, now you're trying to pass a draft. You said you cared about our families, but now it's clear to see that you don't give a fuck about us. All you care about is Wall Street. Not peace, not dreams, certainly not me, but I don't see you as my chief. You're just a white-collar thief, another Tavistock production. Trilateral connection, a Bilderberg commercial, and kissing just little messenger. I heard you with Kennedy, yes. I'm thinking more like Mussolini with your youth brigades and Stasi. I just call him how I see him and say, yes, we can, yes, we can, yes, we can. What? I just got one more question. Hey, Obama, where you taking?
The righteous man. The sort of people invite this man to make newer policies. The same laws they never will see, except to support righteous men. Why did the people invite this man to make newer policies? Somebody help me please understand.
Yeah, a black man in a white place, yo. The Uncle Tom of my space, yeah. Yo, I'm glad I went and said it. I'll say it and I'll say it loud, yo. Fuck the president. No sucker boo, this silly cat's trying to rob you. Yo, say what? Yo, what you mean he trying to get us? An intelligent black man, I think you're jealous. Yo, sucker, please go do your research. The Big New and Kissinger were his teachers. Yo, why you gotta go and hate on a brother? You know that's what they want us to do to each other. Yo, true that, but the truth takes precedence. All anyone can really do is weigh the evidence. And if you can't see the Wall Street cronies claiming all the turf for themselves and they homies, then you about to get jacked for your home. When you out on the street and you can't get a loan, and catch you thinking, would you do it again? Give your vote to a black man just because he said he was a righteous man.
The sort of people invite this man to make newer policies. The same laws you never will see, except to support righteous men. Why did the people invite this man to make newer policies? Somebody help me please understand.
Oh, no, you're not the righteous man, no, no. Oh, no, you're not the righteous man, no.
Uh-huh, he's not the righteous man. You're listening to the Dr. C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Tonight's report is all about this movement, the movement that's happening, the Occupy Wall Street protesters movement. We're going to shed some light on what's really going on tonight and all this week. Today's date, October 4th, 2011 AD. Beautiful. Alexandria, Old Town Alexandria, Virginia. United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. And I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Let's get it started in here. Karen says she's not hearing anything. I can't imagine why. I got plenty of sound over on this end. Sounds like it's all good over here. Not sure what's going on over there. But hey, let's get this show started. All right. Let's see. Where are we here? To kick this particular show off just right, we're going to go ahead and put a tune out there that I think will reflect today's events just right. Yep. If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going to New York, if you're going to New York, oh yeah, you're gonna need some gentle people if you're going. For those who go to New York City, yeah, there'll be a love-in. Yeah, that's a catchy little tune. If you're going to New York City, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair and look real pretty for the cameras. Flower children are back. They are back. The hippies have returned. They want fairness. They want capitalism to come crashing down. So if you're going to New York City, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going. If you're going to New York City, there'll be a love-in there. You can sleep on the ground in the park and not bathe and not shave. And there are no porta potties. You're just sleeping on the ground to protest those evil capitalists, those evil money makers, the movers and the shakers, the ones that make the whole world go around. Unbathed, unshaved, no toothbrushes. So if you're going, go. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Most media outlets have been and continue to ignore the goings-ons of the Occupy Wall Street protest in New York City, the bad parts of it, while claiming that those of us who are Tea Party members are racist and just plain old no damn good. Now in its third week, the protesters' message, the messengers, try to speak against an unequal distribution of wealth, wherein 1% of the American population benefits from the capitalist system, while the other 99% are exploited. The protesters say that they are that 99%, and that unless you are a millionaire, so are you. Well, on Sunday, Nicholas Kristof suggested ways the protesters could turn their endless list of grievances into specific demands. Countless other articles have dismissed the protesters as a fringe group, without goals, without unity, without any specific manifesto, any direction. There's another way of looking at the Occupy Wall Street movement as a form of expression and relationship forming. If you're feeling despondent about the economic and political situation in this country, it helps to know that you're not alone. If you are a commie, a Marxist, a socialist, an anarchist, you'll find like-minded people there everywhere, as far as the eye can see. You'll find those who agree with you. You'll find those derelicts and ne'er-do-wells and misfits and people who are just shiftless and lazy and who blame the fact that they didn't get a good education or didn't get the proper breaks. Luck didn't fall their way. Good genes, proper DNA. You had two moronic parents that got together and produced you. And you don't have the brain power, enough intellect to figure out ways to support yourself and your family. Well, New York City is the place for you right now, right in front of Wall Street. If you're dumb as a box of rocks or just plain lazy, New York City is the place for you right now, Wall Street. If you're a lazy, uncouth, ne'er-do-well, who didn't listen to the teachers in school when they told you, son, you got to get a good education because it's a meat grinder out there. And if you're not properly prepared, life's going to chew you up and spit you out. That's a direct quote from my high school guidance counselor when he busted me sitting in study hall all day long reading comic books and chilling with my buddies. I was promptly escorted into the principal's office. The principal chewed me up and down. Guidance counselor came in with my mama. My mama had already called her. She was on her way. She was there. Guidance counselor told me, get your act together, son. It's a meat grinder out there. Those were his exact words. I remember them to this very day. I was just sophomore in high school. My mom then gave me that look that was worse than any ass whooping I could possibly get. Just the look of disgust and shame and embarrassment all in one look. That was all that was needed to get me on the right track. Some of those folks didn't have that. Those folks who are now on Wall Street in New York City gathering to protest the fact that there are people out there who actually are productive, who are making money, who are feeding their families, driving around in nice cars, living in nice houses, living the American dream. Instead of aspiring to live that same American dream, they want to see the system completely broken down and all the money that was made by others redistributed to those who didn't heed the warning of my high school guidance counselor. They did not. So if you're a piece of shit, yes, I said it. If you're shiftless and lazy, if you had two parents who were just plain Neanderthals, and they just happened to get together and work up enough brain power to lay down together and produce you, only to have those poor genes passed on from them to you in a twisted act of fate, and you can't get your act together? Well, there it is. It's not your fault. Blame somebody else. Blame the producers, the productive people. You all know that I favor Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged and the Fountainhead, and all of that. They're producers. They're productive people. People like me and you who want a better life for us and our families and who are willing to go out and work hard and do the necessary things in order to achieve on our own with no help from the government, with no help from anybody. All we're asking is the opportunity and we'll do the rest. Now, some will say, hey, Jones, you got all that you have is a product of the government. You worked for the government for 30 years. They paid for you to go to school. They paid for your tuition to all the finest schools. Yeah, that's true. But I still had to take those tests. I still had to study on my own. They didn't do that for me. I still had to give the government back 30 years in exchange for that fine education. 30 years of service that was not easy. Violence of epic proportions plays in my head every single night. I paid the price, and I paid it gladly. I did what I wanted to do. I became what I wanted to be. And every day I write the book, and I'm telling you, I paid my dues, and I'm reaping the rewards. That's what it's really all about. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the year, and you can say, I did it. I did it. I did it. It was me. It wasn't the government. Nobody gave me anything. I didn't get anything for free. I did it. I did it from my own brain, my own power. I got up at 5 in the morning. I got up at 4:30. I did it. I expected nothing except for what I work for. Those folks right now in New York City, look at them. All they're expecting is something for nothing. They didn't do anything. They say that those folks who work in those high-rises are looting them, are exploiting them. Most of those people have been there for 3 weeks, night and day. Obviously, they're unemployed, most of them. Where do they work? Where do they live? Where do they sleep? 3 weeks. Think about that. These are the fringe elements of our society. Unemployed, no job to speak of. Even I, C. Robert Jones, who is retired, couldn't afford to spend 3 weeks camped out on some street in New York City. New York City is filthy as it is. There's no way I'm sleeping on the street out there. Cougar in the chat room writes, Tea Party. The Tea Party's are radical troublemakers. A lot like Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, and George Washington, exactly right. But what we have in New York City are a bunch of losers. Most of them, followers. Followers. That's what they are. And here we have a lot of them. Simply, those who refuse to work for a living. Let me play a clip for you. Socialist revolution at occupancy, occupying Wall Street. What this man you're about to hear, his voice, he speaks to exactly what I'm talking about right now. Take a listen to this clown. Tell me what you think.
I'll do the best I can.
All right. What's your name, sir?
I'm Bill Steyer.
Bill Steyer. All right. Well, what are you here for?
Well, we're angry as hell at Wall Street because of what they do to the poor people and the middle class people, force them out of their homes with foreclosures. And as a Vietnam veteran, I'm mad as hell that they are making money off of war in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Who's making money?
Companies like Halliburton and Bechtel. And we're sick and tired of those kind of people. We don't. Go screw yourself. Get lost. We want our boys and women back.
Okay. So what do you want them to do to reverse the damage they've done?
I want them to quit their jobs, and I want capitalism to go down. Because capitalism is killing this country. It's killing people. We have to look at new alternatives. Think out of the the box. Socialist.
So you're a socialist?
Goddamn right.
So does that mean you're a communist as well?
No, it doesn't mean I'm a communist. Except I'm a socialist.
I mean, but sir, you fought against the socialists in Vietnam.
Yeah, well, that was such bullshit because the leader of the Communist Party was Ho Chi Minh, the nearest thing that Vietnam had to George Washington. He was a nationalist leader, and we went halfway around the world to tell people that they couldn't have him for their leader. And the French got kicked out in 54 at Dinh Dan Phu, and we, like a bunch of fools, went in there and took over, or tried to. We got our asses kicked.
So who you think is gonna pay for all these socialist programs that you want?
The people! The people will pay for it! Because it feeds the people, it shelters the people, it gives them health care and education.
What people?
Oh, for God's sake, the people of the United States of America.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I am
using my brain.
I bailed those fuckers out.
Okay, well, hey,
that's
I'm just asking.
Money, where's the money come
right,
from that?
You and me and you.
Anyway, thanks.
All right.
I'm sorry I got so emotional, but I'm very upset about it.
Okay, well, I mean, my question is, they're gonna take the money out of you and me, not from Bear Stearns, not from all these, not from Wall Street.
This is the beginning of a revolution. You don't understand what we're talking about.
This is not a revolution.
This is not a revolution.
This is
we're
not
talking about cheese.
This is not gonna be the beginning of anything.
You don't think out of the box. Forget about it. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
All right.
All right. Thanks
for not.
Where to begin? Where to begin? It's so absurd that I had to laugh. Think out of the box. Think out of the box. You know, I hate to beat you guys head over the head with Ayn Rand, The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, all of that. You guys know I love it. These folks are the looters. The takers. Imagine that this man wants the people. The people are going to pay for his living. The people are going to provide for him. The people are going to provide for each other. We're all going to take care of each other. Who's going to run the companies, the factories, the stores, Bear Stearns, the banks? Who's going to do all that? The people. Aren't the people already doing that? What people is this guy referring to? Which people? The people are already doing these jobs. So you have socialist issues going on here. And didn't you think that was going to be the case? This guy is a lazy bum. He doesn't want to work anymore. He figures he's served his time in hell with Vietnam, and even that was a farce compared, supposedly, by him. That was BS. The people. He wants the capitalist system gone. He wants a socialist system. He wants us to think outside the box. And we're going to do things differently now. How differently? What is going to happen? Yesterday, I played a clip from Milton Friedman. And you know the clip well because if you listen to this show, you heard it. Where Milton says to Phil Donahue, who's going to pay for all this stuff? Who is not greedy? What is not, where, who do you think is going to do things differently here? Listen to my man Milton Friedman. He's pretty much. I'm gonna use Milton Friedman as a rebuttal to that clown you just heard. Now check it out. See Robert Jones. Situation
when
report.
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries. When you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, aren't you ever Did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism and whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly in the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear that there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise system.
But it seems to reward not virtue as much as ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue? You think a Hitler rewards virtue? You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest? You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us. Well, I don't even trust you to do that.
All right. Now, Milton, put it down. And I would love, and I would have loved for the individual who we just heard from in New York City hear what Milton Friedman had to say those years ago on the Phil Donahue show. What do you think he'd say to that? How would he respond to that issue? I wonder what he'd say to that. Who is going to take the place? What's going to take the place of capitalism? What do these people really want? Well, I'll tell you, because I have a list of their demands. And I'm sure most of the listening audience for the C. Robert Jones Situation Report already know these demands, because you guys are very well informed. The Occupy Wall Street protesters have listed 13 proposed demands from their website. So let's go over them, shall we? Feel free to call in if you will, if you'd like, 347-884-8500. Demand number one, and I'm going to try to stifle a laugh here. I'm going to do my best not to laugh. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Demand number one, the restoration of the living wage. This demand can only be met by ending free trade, by reimposing trade tariffs on all imported goods, entering the American market to level the playing field for domestic family farming and domestic manufacturing, as most nations that are dumping cheap products onto the American market have radical wage and environmental regulation advantages. Another policy that must be instituted is raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour. Do you agree with that? Raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour. Okay. Think about that for a minute. $20 an hour. Who's going to pay that? Which of these clowns in New York City protesting came up with that one? Now, there's something to be said for the tariff issue. I kind of dig that. But not free trade. Demand number two. institute a universal single-payer health care system. To do this, all private insurers must be banned from the healthcare market, as their only effect on the health of patients is to take money away from doctors, nurses, and hospitals, preventing them from doing their jobs, and hand that money to Wall Street investors. Okay. Now, let's take that one. Remember when we watched a series? I have a television. One of my favorite television channels is devoted entirely to television shows from the 50s, the 60s, and 70s, early 70s. And one of the shows is Marcus Welby, M.D. Remember when Marcus Welby, those of you who are old enough, would show up at a person's doorstep and just kind of diagnose the issue, fix the problem, all, you know, and it was all good, and it was just him, pretty much. And he would be paid by the individual. I dug that, and I dig it still. I don't believe that Marcus Welby worked for an HMO. He worked for himself. He was perhaps affiliated with a hospital, but he worked for himself. I like that. However, on the other hand, most of the innovations, things that are keeping people alive to well into their 90s, were developed as a result of these big drug companies, insurance companies, and the like. So it's a catch-22. I like it both ways, but I like it better the way it is right now. Next demand, demand number three, which is absurd. And you please stifle a laugh if you can. Here it goes. Guaranteed living wage income, regardless of employment. Yeah, you heard me right. I said guaranteed living wage income, regardless of employment. So where's that money coming from? Anybody? Anybody want it? Anybody? Where's that bread coming from? Who's paying this living wage guaranteed for life, regardless of whether you have a job or not? This is what these folks who are protesting want. It's laughable. Any credibility they might have had has gone out the window with this ridiculous manifesto. Wouldn't you agree? Demand number four, free college education for all. Which teachers are going to teach these college educations? Perhaps those who are getting that free living wage, regardless of employment. So how does that work? These instructors who are making all of this jack, all of this bread right now, are going to work for, say, $20 an hour to teach people for free. Pretty much. They're going to get free education, free living wage. What do you think? Anybody? Number five. Demand number five. Begin a fast-track process to bring the fossil fuel economy to an end, while at the same time bringing an alternative energy economy up to energy demand. How many of those unshaven, filthy protesters who are obviously unemployed do you think can help bring that about? How many of those physicists are there, or geologists, or how many of those, or just a plain old roughneck working to bring about this economy? How many of those folks out there you think going to do that? I don't think very many. Well, let's move on down the line here. Demand number six, $1 trillion in infrastructure, water, sewer, rail, roads, bridges, and electrical grid spending now. Right now. They want that right now. Demand number 8, radical. I'm sorry. Radical. Racial and gender equal rights amendment. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number 9, open border migration. Anyone can travel anywhere to work and live. Wow. Okay. All right. Demand number 10, bring American elections up to international standards of a paper ballot, precinct counted and recounted in front of an independent and party observers system. Wow. So not the American standard, but an international standard. Demand 11, they couldn't stick with just 10. Just, you know, your basic 10 demands. This one's a lengthy one. Let's get it out. Immediate across-the-board debt forgiveness for all. Some of you would like that, wouldn't you? Just forgive all our debts. We're all free and clear. Would you like that? Would you like to have your debt forgiven across the board for everybody? Debt forgiveness of sovereign debt, commercial loans, home mortgages, home equity loans, credit card debt, student loans, and personal loans now. They've got it written that way, now, with an exclamation point, now. All debt must be stricken from the books. World Bank loans to all nations. Bank-to-bank debt and all bonds and margin call debt in the stock market, including all derivatives, or credit default swaps. All $65 trillion of them must be stricken from the books. And I don't mean debt that is in default. I mean all debt on the entire planet, period. Ooh, lofty. Lofty demands. Demand 12. Outlaw all credit reporting agencies. Amazing. Outlaw all credit. So basically, these are a bunch of losers who want their whole lives wiped away so they can start over. This is what I'm getting. I mean, maybe, do you feel the same way? We have a group of losers, and they've all pretty much congregated on Wall Street in New York City, and they want their miserable lives just wiped away. Can we start over? That's what they want. They want to start over. Their miserable, worthless lives, their misspent youth, completely wiped away, along with everybody else's. So that everybody can be equal and on the same footing. That's what I'm getting right here and now. It's just coming to me now. So that when everybody is special, no one is. Or when everybody's equal, nobody's special. I'm a loser. I've racked up a lot of debt, including school debt. And, hey, while we're doing this thing here, while I'm camping out, unshaven, unbathed, completely devoid of any hygiene care at all. And by the way, I'm unemployed, which is why I've been here for 3 weeks since the 17th of September. Can you go ahead and wipe away all my debt as well? And while we're at it, while you're wiping away all of my debt, could you go ahead and wipe away everyone else's too, so that we're all pretty much equal? Because it's only the right thing to do. We all need to be equal. We all want to be the same. Yeah. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report, and complete and total madness going on and absurdity going on right now. Right now in New York City, of all places. Did you think that would ever happen? New York City, Wall Street, gone mad with socialist, anarchist, Marxist, and ne'er-do-wells of all kind, trying to get their lives in order and taking the opportunity to have all their debts wiped away, pretty much saying that, hey, I'm a loser, and I need you to go ahead and do these things so I won't be a loser anymore. We're going to take a brief break, and we're going to listen to something important, which is appropriate given the topic for tonight. You're listening to the Dr. C. Robert Jones Sit Rep. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Why is Ayn Rand's great novel Atlas Shrugged a bestseller today, more than half a century after it was written? It's because our real world today is just like the fictional future that Rand foresaw in Atlas Shrugged. It's a time of crisis and decay, but it's also a world of innovation and achievement. It's a world of heroes and villains, driven by very different philosophies. We wrote I Am John Galt to tell their stories. We look at the heroic innovators who are building our world and show that they're doing it just like the heroes of Ayn Rand's novels. They're using her philosophy of capitalism, reason, objective reality, and self-interest. Who is John Galt? Meet John Allison, the mild-mannered Southerner who created one of America's greatest banking empires. He did it with Ayn Rand's philosophy by getting every one of his tens of thousands of employees to read Atlas Shrugged and live by its code. In the great financial crisis of 2008, his bank was about the only one that didn't need a government bailout. But the government forced Allison to take TARP money anyway. After that, Allison walked away, just like John Galt did. There's so many other Rand heroes in our midst. There's Bill Gates, the genius who built the world's greatest company and the world's greatest personal fortune, only to have his own government call him a criminal for succeeding too much. Isn't he just like Hank Reardon from Atlas Shrugged? And how about Steve Jobs, the brilliant entrepreneur who reinvented computers, movies, music, telephones, just because he thought it was so cool? He's got the same attitude toward life as Howard Roark from Rand's other great novel, The Fountainhead. Build it, and I don't care if they come. You'll meet some real-life Rand villains in our book, too, the parasites who are trying to destroy the world. Remember Wesley Mooch from Atlas Shrugged, the corrupt bureaucrat who destroyed the economy? That's Congressman Barney Frank, who spent years subsidizing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the name of altruism. When Fannie and Freddie nearly wrecked the U.S. housing market, what did Frank do? Just like Mooch, he demanded wider powers. And you'll meet Paul Krugman, the rabid partisan pundit who spread socialism from the pages of the New York Times and thinks nothing of using the power of the press to destroy his political enemies. He's Ellsworth Toohey, the scheming, dwarfish newspaper columnist straight from the pages of The Fountainhead. These are some of the heroes and villains who move our world. So who is John Galt? I am. You can be too. Read our book and find out how.
How many men ever went to a barbecue and would let one man take off the table what's intended for 9/10 of the people to eat? The only way you'll ever be able to feed the balance of the people is to make that man come back and bring back some of that grub he ain't got no business with.
Now, how are you going to feed the balance of the people? What's Morgan and Baruch and Rockefeller and Mellon going to do with all that grub? They can't eat it. They can't wear the clothes. They can't live in the house. But when they've got everything on the God's living earth that they can eat and they can wear and they can live in, and all that their children can live in and wear and eat and all their children's children can use, then we got to call Mr. Morgan and Mr. Mellon and Mr. Rockefeller back and say, come back here. Put that stuff back on this table here that you took away from here that you don't need. Leave something else for the American people to consume.
You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Is he right? Was he right? Was Huey Long right? Do these wealthy folks, those people who have more than you, Do they not deserve it? Did they not work for it? And even if they did, so what? They should share it with you. Do you feel that way? See, here's what I think. I think that people who feel that way have nothing to be taken. What I fear is, once all that wealth has been redistributed, and there's nothing more to redistribute, it's going to boil down to people like you and me. Sexy Sammy, Beach Bomb, Blog Talk, Cougar, Evil Clown. Those of us who have a few things that are worth taking because we've got too much. Once all those rich people have been looted and all their worldly goods, the producers, once they stop producing, once they're gone, and I have, well, frankly, I have two cars. I have a Nissan Maxima, and I have an SUV, a Nissan Pathfinder. There's going to be a point where somebody's going to say, you've got two cars. You don't need those two cars. You can only drive one at a time. And even though you purchased those cars and they belong to you, what's going to happen is we're going to take that SUV, because there's a mother down the street who needs to get to the work camp in order to produce enough food for us to eat. The work camp, the farming camp. So what we're going to do is we're going to take that SUV and we're going to use it for her and her kids to get around in, or her and several other families to get around in. We're going to take that from you because you don't need it. Eventually, it's all going to trickle down to you and me. There are not enough rich people in the United States of America to solve whatever problem these socialist, communist, Marxists, whatever you want to call them, there's not enough money to satisfy these folks. Eventually, it's all going to come down to me and you. I love the Maxima. Beach Bum, I have the 2008 Nissan Maxima. I have over 100,000 miles on that baby, and I love it. I've got like 120,000 miles on that car. But hey, I like to drive. Listen, pretty soon, they're going to come for our Maximas. They're going to come for our Maximas. And either they're going to take them away and use them for the overall community, or they're going to make us get rid of them and buy an electric vehicle that gets maybe 150 miles to the gallon, but travels no more than 40 miles an hour. and by that, there won't be much electricity, because those producers who produce electricity and all that stuff, well, those folks will be gone too. So pretty much we'll be living like Mad Max. Remember the movie Mad Max? That's what those folks in New York want us to live like. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. The Road Warrior. That's what they'd like to see. We're living a Road Warrior existence. Here we go. The remaining demands. Demand number 12 is where we left off, and that was to outlaw all credit reporting agencies. Demand 13, allow all workers to sign a ballot at any time during a union organizing campaign, or at any time that represents their yay or nay to having a union represent them in collective bargaining, or to form a union. I tend to think that this particular demand is redundant, because once the free market system is gone, once capitalism has been abolished, what is the need for a union? I don't think they thought this one through? Wouldn't the whole damn country be union by then? There's no need for an official union once capitalism is abolished. Be that as it is, these demands will create so many jobs, it will be completely impossible to fill them without an open border policy, the manifesto states. Quite a list. Quite a list indeed of Marxist demands. The real question here is, if these demands are not met, then what? Because I tell you what, when I read the first demand, I came to the king. It came to me immediately. Well, what? What then? What are you going to do? You're going to just kind of chill and just kind of hang out in front of the buildings in New York? What are you going to do? If you don't get your demands met, what? Come on with it. Talk about it. Talk tough now. What are you going to do? There's like several hundred of you folks just crazy enough to do your little sit-in. And quite frankly, watching the news, I didn't see a tough guy among the group. They're a bunch of shaggy-haired hippies. And didn't they already try this back in the 60s? Didn't they already try this? I mean, come on. What are you going to do? How tough are you going to be? I know a lot of you are thinking the same thing. What are they going to do? Well, let's get it on. You want revolution? Well, I can't think as an historian of many times where these types of revolutions have come about without a certain amount of bloodshed. Or do you think that those folks down in New York City are ready to throw down? Do you think they're ready to get a little dirty, a little bloody? I don't think so. Frankly, I think the first shot of tear gas going into that little group of misfits, well, they'll scatter like roaches. They don't look all that tough to me. But hey, I also think that this is exactly what President Obama wants. It plays right into the Saul Alinsky, Francis Fox Piven playbook. Except, so far, things are pretty tame. I would venture to say that probably by this weekend, things are going to get a little bit more dicey. Stay tuned. And listen to my favorite news channel, Fox News. Stay tuned. I have a feeling that once these demands are these utterly laughable demands are not met, they're going to step it up a little bit. Does anybody agree? They'll step it up just a little bit. And there'll be some tear gas flying, some riot control going down, and we'll see some more arrest. Because what these folks really want is a replay of what's going on in Europe right now. They want change, redistributive change, along with our president, Barack Hussein Obama. And I believe that Obama is the architect of all this mischief, all of it. He is the architect of this. He has been hinting. He has been doing his subliminal messaging. Fat cat bankers, corporate jet owners, the rich, the wealthy, the millionaires and billionaires, pay your fair share. Although, interestingly enough, he hasn't stated what that fair share is. How much is that? Given that the wealthy pay the lion's share of taxes, how much is enough? Well, we know from our research that Obama's daddy wrote a similar manifesto back in the mid-60s, where he said that in order to effect proper change, that the rich need to pay 100% of their income, 100% in taxes, that they need to be taxed 100%. Obama's daddy wrote this. I have copies if you'd like. I am not giving opinion at this very moment. I am giving you fact. Obama's daddy also wrote that
all property of the rich and wealthy need to be confiscated. Obama wrote a letter to his mama when engaged in the only real job he's ever had. He said that he's functioning behind enemy lines, that he's in the belly of the beast. Those are direct quotes. A simple job working at a damn malt shop or something similar to that. He said that he's working for corporate America and he's behind enemy lines. He wrote this letter to his mama. The guy has a complete distaste for all things capitalist. He's thinking in the polls. What do you think he's going to do? The only thing that can save this clown is a serious crisis. That's what we've got going right now, a serious crisis. Could we start again? That's what those folks really want. That's what they want. If you're going to San Francisco, baby, don't. Head right on over to to New York City to get yourself some free love and get your credit wiped clean. Get it wiped clean. But in the meantime, we've got to keep the devil way down in the hole. Tesla's in the house, Beach Bum, Cougar, Evil Clown, Blog Talk King, Alexander Solo, and so many others. Thank you all for listening to the show tonight. Thank you for taking the time. I do appreciate it because, as I've said often, there's so many things that you could be doing, and you've taken the time to come and listen to my show, and I do appreciate it. I am humbled by it, really. And I try to put on a good show with facts and more facts. Way down in the hole, folks. God bless you. God bless America. Have a great night. Stay tuned. It's going to get rough. Mark my words. Good night, folks.
When you walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, He's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at His command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. Keep the devil way down.